And our text this morning out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is in verses 12 and 13. Paul says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." We all know the significance of a doctor. When we go to the doctor, we go to him for our physical needs. If we hurt somewhere, we tell him. Sometimes we go to just be checked up on. And we don't go to a doctor that'll lie to us and that'll pat us on the back and tell us everything's okay, and particularly if you're dying or you have something very wrong with you. You don't go to a doctor that is a gold digger, that's out to fleece you and to feather his nest. You go to someone who is fair. You also don't go to a quack. You go to someone that has knowledge and experience and that has a track record. Oftentimes you go to a doctor that your friend recommends. And that's what church is sort of the same way, except we don't necessarily minister to the physical needs. We're working on the spiritual plane. There are times when we do share physically for food, an embrace, a warm handshake, an encouraging smile. When you come to a body of believers, you're coming to a family. And just like in a family, you have a husband who is in charge, and he cares for his wife, and he cares for his children. The same thing in a church body. And the elders are the ones who are over the church. And I read some portions of Scripture in 1 Peter and Titus to give us a little bit of background about an elder. And what I'm doing is I'm talking about myself this morning. I'm talking about my responsibility. I'm talking about what your expectations of me should be. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. Sometimes I have to tell you that that course of action is not biblical. Now, I can't help you choose the brand of car you make. That's not my job. I'm not here to tell you what color of dress to buy. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to help you to stand before God approved. I'm here to encourage you to run your race faithfully until the Lord comes or the Lord takes you. And I'm here to help you not to run in the ditch, as we would say from my southern heritage. I'm here to keep you between the ditches. I don't want you to run off in the ditch on the left hand or on the right side. I want you to be on the straight and narrow way. I'm here to tell you how to be saved if you're lost. I'm here to tell you how to live if you're a child of God. And sometimes the pastor's job or the elders, and by the way, there are more than one elder, usually in a body of believers. Paul Corcoran is an elder in our fellowship. Mel Kovaloff is a deacon. And these are the ones who are leading our congregation. And I'm not here alone. I have to be accountable myself. And so I'm not here to lord it over you. I'm not here to be your boss. I'm here to be a father. In fact, you're to treat an elder as you would your father. You have to have respect for an elder. If you don't have any respect for me, then you need to find a place where you can respect the man who is over that congregation. And so that's not easy to say, particularly when we're such a small group. But let me tell you, if I can't help you in spiritual things, you need to find someone that you can trust and that can help you in spiritual things. But my bottom line is, I want to see you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, And that if you will believe and receive for yourself that finished work on the cross, you're born into the family of God. When Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to the Philippian jailer, he used the aorist tense of the verb, believe, and you graph that aorist tense with a dot. It's an event in your life. After you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're in a race. And a spiritual race. And I'm here as a coach. I'm here as an exhorter. Others in the family are the same way. I'm not the only one that can encourage you. You encourage me. I can become discouraged. You can become discouraged. But we're here to encourage one another. Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, he says, we beseech you, brethren, to know or to observe them which labor or toil wearily among you. An elder is one who labors. He becomes weary. An elder can come to the place where he wants to faint. You know, it can happen, just like in your life. But we are to observe them, to know them. And they are over you in the Lord. Now that's the emphasis here. I'm not over you in any other area. I'm over you, so to speak, in the Lord to help you with your spiritual walk. Now, and admonish you or warn you by instruction. That's one of the jobs that I have, is to warn people. Just like a doctor says, if you smoke cigarettes, I'm here to warn you that you may have cancer, or you may get cancer. He goes on, it says, to esteem them highly, or regard them very highly, or beyond measure, this is another translation from the Greek, in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. One of the things that Paul encountered with the churches is unrest. Paul wept over that. Paul struggled over people or over churches that were living in sin. The church at Corinth was promoting or embracing the sexual immorality that was going on in the church. Can you imagine that? And Paul had to deal with that. And he had some opposition. Even he says, you just say all I am is a windbag, but you just wait till I get there, Paul said. I'll take care of the situation, but you need to get that out of your body. Get that sin out. Paul struggled with the care of the churches. And I'm glad the Lord's only given me one. Not a dozen. And I'm thankful for that. Now, when I first came up here, we were meeting downstairs, and somebody raised their hand to ask a question. And they said, what should we call you? And so I was just as straight and just as stern a face as I can look. I says, just call me Bishop White. Well, there's a little truth in that, in a sense, because in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, it says, and this is Paul on his way to Jerusalem. He says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and call the elders, or the presbyter, you know, we get the Presbyterian church from the word elders, or presbytos, of the church. Then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he continues to talk to these elders, and he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer. See the word overseer? That's the word bishop. He says, you elders, God has given you to be an overseer or a bishop over the flock. And Paul is encouraging the elders to take heed to themselves. This has to do with accountability and responsibility. Personal responsibility and accountability. Between you and the Lord, and between other elders as well. And notice that he says that it is the Holy Spirit that has put you in charge of the flock. I didn't do it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God that's done it. Any authority that I have, it has come from God. I don't have anything to offer you but prayer and the Word of God. That's all I have to offer you. But the Holy Spirit has given me this responsibility. And I take it seriously. And he said to the elders and to the bishops, to feed the church of God. You come to this place on Sunday morning. If you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can tell you the way of salvation. It doesn't take long to tell a person how to be saved. The Philippian jailer, how long did it take Paul to tell him the plan of salvation? I mean, I haven't sat down and timed it, but it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. The Philippian jailer did what Paul said. He's in the family. Back when I lived in Chattanooga, I happened to have a burden to get one of these answering machines. This was a box about this big, and you had to rent them from AT&T back in those days. And all you could put on there was a 60-second announcement. It wasn't an answering machine that you could record anything on. It just simply made an announcement if somebody called and answered the phone. So what I decided I would do is I would have what I call a gospel telephone. And so I got another telephone line, and I got some business cards printed up with a telephone number on it, and I just passed those around. It's just amazing how you can present a plan of salvation in 60 seconds and give an invitation to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We could hear that thing click on all during the night and if we were awake and during the day. And I flew out to Los Alamitos, California with a two-week cruise with the Navy, and I went to Disney World or Disneyland. I can't remember which one it is out there. But anyway, AT&T had a pavilion out there. And so they would make a long-distance phone call for you anywhere in the United States for free. So I just had them dial that number. And the thing about it is this, the speaker system went all over the pavilion or that area where they, where the AT&T place was. Well, the plan of salvation was presented in 60 seconds right there in the Disney World. And one of the operators there says, would you give me that number again? And so I gave her a business, a little card with that number on there. And she says, I'm going to be calling that number. So it doesn't take long to present the plan of salvation. But you come here on Sunday morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I'm here to feed you. I'm here to feed you spiritual food. I'm here to feed you spiritual food so that your value systems will change. That your priorities will change. That you will be encouraged in the Lord. We don't always get what we want. But I tell you, one thing about praying is this. The Lord said in Luke 18, in verse 1, He says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. One thing I can tell you is you may not get everything you want when you pray, but one thing you'll get if you'll pray is you won't faint. And there are plenty of Christians today that are quitting because they're mad at God. They're mad at the church. Let me tell you, your behavior, my behavior, should not be dependent upon what other people do, what other Christians are doing, or what the church does. My walk with the Lord is dependent upon my God and my God only. And I should not be affected by what other people do. I need to trust Him. And I shouldn't faint either. Now, let's go on. So Paul encouraged them to feed the church. That's my job, is to feed you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, Peter is saying, I'm writing to you elders to exhort you. And he again emphasizes in verse 2, to feed the flock of God which is among you. And I thought that was interesting, among you. Elders sometimes are among those that are not part of the flock. But we're to feed the flock, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint. This is where the calling part comes in. I had a desire to be used of God, to be a blessing to others. And I started out by discipling men and women, home Bible classes, and feeding them. And when the call came to come here, I came. I wasn't forced to come. It was just something that this is what the Lord would want me to do. And I felt like that's what God would have me to do, and I came. And I've been here. We'll be 18 years in September. I've been here nearly 18 years. So I need to feed the flock of God, take the oversight willingly, not for money. I think I've demonstrated the fact that I'm not here for money. We haven't got a pile of it here. Though, you know, it's amazing. The Lord gave us more than we needed the first year I was here. When we balanced the books, and I really had to work on balancing the books because they were just in disarray when I came. But you know what we had in the bank? We had one nickel in the bank. One nickel. That's more than we needed. So the Lord was blessed us more than we needed by a nickel. Well, I just thank the Lord that we are going to have the building here painted in this summer, and we're going to pay cash to have it painted. We had carpet put in the fellowship hall. We paid cash for it. We had new doors put on the front door of the church. We paid cash for it. We're having new storm windows put in around the bottom of the basement windows. We paid cash for it. The Lord has provided for our needs. I tell you, you just be faithful to God, and He will be faithful to you. You take care of what's important to Him, and He'll take care of what's important to you. You can count on that. Okay. Money is not the purpose here. I need to have a ready mind. A ready mind to help other people. A ready mind to encourage. A ready mind to teach. I need to be prepared. You gotta make preparation to be ready. You can't be ready sitting on your hands. You've got to be in prayer, and you've got to be in the Word of God. Verse 3, neither as being lords over the heritage of God, but being ensamples to the flock. I'm not here to lord it over you, though I do have some authority over you if you come here and listen to me preach. One of the things that I heard from Warren Wiersbe when I first came up here, I went to a meeting where a lot of pastors were gathered for a breakfast. And one thing that Warren Wiersbe said, when I was a pastor at Moody Bible Institute, or Moody Church, he was the pastor at Moody Church, he says, I never counseled anyone who wouldn't come to hear me preach. If you don't have enough respect to listen to what I have to say and to share, you will not take the counsel I give you. Well, I'm not a perfect preacher, and of course I do share the Word. And I don't have all the answers, but I at least can allow you to bump things off of me, and I can bump some scripture off of you, and we can work things out, and then we can help each other work through things. But I'm here to encourage, not to lord it over, not to tell you what to do. Okay? There are some men that have done that to a disgrace to the church. But I should be an ensample to the church, or to the flock. I need to show you that I trust the Lord, that I can trust the Lord with my needs. And I've done that, I think, here over the years. And of course the Lord says, if you'll be faithful, He says, I'll give you a crown of glory, which fades not away. Whatever the Lord has for me, that'll be fine. Now, the standards for an elder. Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain or appoint elders. Elders are appointed. A lot of churches vote on elders. Paul says, I want you to appoint elders. It wasn't a democratic vote, it was an appointment. In those days, elders didn't move from city to city. Today we have pastors moving all over the place, and sometimes it does take a little more insight from the rest of the body of believers in calling elders or pastors into the ministry, into minister to you, since you can't know them because they haven't lived among you. If they haven't lived among you, you just can't observe them and know them that way. Now, here he tells us that if any be blameless, husband of one wife, having faithful children. I think that being blameless simply means that you're not going to be embarrassed by somebody who is leading you when someone comes in, correctly accuses you of something that you have done wrong. Don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect, but I'm careful in my walk with the Lord. I don't want someone coming and embarrassing us, embarrassing me. A husband of one wife. I don't have more than one allegiance. A pastor is not to have more than one allegiance. He needs to have his allegiance to his flock. Faithful children. One thing about a pastor is he needs to know how to govern his family. That doesn't mean that his family or his children will all be successful Christians and all that. But one thing is for sure, that you need to have your children in submission, and they need to be faithful. Having faithful children, in other words, they're not off, they're with you when you're where you need to be. Not accused of rioting. This word riot here is better understood as wasteful excessiveness. It's not having a riot like you would throw bottles and rocks on the street. This rioting here has to do with excess. You don't need a man that is wasting things. I'm not here to be frivolous. I'm here to use God's money wisely. And also, I'm not to be rebellious or unruly. I'm under control. I am not wanting my own way. Verse 7, it says, for a bishop, now he's talking about elders, that is, a bishop, an overseer, same as an elder, must be blameless, and the steward of God. The word steward has to do with household manager. That's one thing. One of the things that I do here is that I pay the bills. I take care of the bills. I make sure that we don't pay any overcharge, you know, anything over. Keep everything down as cheap as I can get it, and so that we can have the monies that we need to do the things that we need to do. I don't want to be self-willed, not my way only. I don't want to become angry. I want to be under control. I don't want to be addicted to any kind of alcohol or any drugs. I don't want to be quarrelsome. I don't want to be greedy. And an elder and a bishop shouldn't have any of these qualities. If they do, they're disqualified. It says, but a lover of hospitality, that is, fond of guests. A lover of good men. The word men really should not be there. It's lover of good things. Lover of that which is good. Sober, that is, sensible. Just, that is, obedient to the word of God. He needs to be holy. And not holier than thou, but separate and devout. Holier than thou is looking down on people. We're all on the same level. That's one of the things that I did when I came here. This pulpit used to be up here, didn't it? I preached from this pulpit up on the platform. I said, what I want to do is I want to bring it down here where we're all together on one plane. The only thing is, I haven't been able to get you to move closer to me. Always back there. Anyway, that's okay. I'm glad you're here. I need self-control. I need to hold fast the faithful word. I need to hold it for myself. I need to hold it for you. As he had been taught. The word taught has to do with doctrine. One thing about it is this. I'm here to teach you, but let me tell you, I've been taught myself. I've submitted to someone else teaching me. And I am here to ask you to submit yourself to teaching of the Word of God as well. I'm not asking you to do something that I didn't do myself. Okay? And that by sound doctrine, I can both exhort you and to convince or to refute those who would contradict the Word. I need to have the ability to do that. Well, I don't think I'm going to have enough time to cover all that I wanted to share this morning. So Lord willing, we'll pick up here, Lord willing, next Sunday, and just reflect a little bit more upon the elder and his responsibility. When you come here on Sunday morning, I know that you're not coming to be a part of a social club. There are plenty of those around town. I hope you're coming so that you can find out what God expects of you, so that you can stand approved in His presence. That you can hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. Did you know that not every child of God is going to hear that? Not every child of God is going to hear that. And if you're going to a body of believers that is not trying to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, they give book reviews, they give concerts, you know, they're entertaining you. Let me tell you, the Word of God says in the last days that men will not endure sound doctrine. And do you notice the word endure? You have to endure it. You endure it because it's worth it. Because it will help you finish good. It'll help you finish the race. Solomon didn't finish well. He started well. He didn't finish well. I'm here to help us all. I'm not just me, but you, all of us, to finish well. And I trust the Lord will help us in our race, that we will hear, "Well done." Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the counsel that You give us. We thank You, Lord, for the structure of a body of believers where there is leadership that You have called to be committed to You, committed to the church that You have made us an overseer of. I just pray, Father, that You would help us. Help me, Lord, to be faithful to You and to Your Word, and to be faithful and accountable to these that come to hear the Word taught. My desire, Lord, is like Paul's desire to those at Thessalonica. What is my joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? That's my desire, and that's the desire I have for myself and for these who are here this morning. And Father, if there be one here this morning that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray, Lord, that they might be encouraged to receive Him. And if they need further information, that they would take time to come and speak to one of us, that we might point him to the Lord Jesus Christ, or them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved. We thank You again for Your presence with us this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.